If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, it is our third and final hour on this Tuesday. We welcome you back to the show. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. So much to dive into here on this Tuesday, the end of the opening half of this NFL regular season. It is trade deadline day in the National Football League, and then from the NFL and the pro ranks, Joe, to college football. For the first time in the 12-team era of the college football playoff, the CFP selection committee from Grapevine, Texas tonight will deliver their inaugural rankings in the 12-team era. How are they viewing what has been a wonderful college football season, generational for some, parity everywhere around the sport? It will be important, not just the top four, the top six, but everybody in the top 25, how it works for a group of five schools. Where are teams like Boise State and Tulane perhaps ranked as things move up and down? What are we going to see with some of the undefeated teams in the country, like BYU and Indiana? There is so much to dive through. We'll present what the betting odds are saying about the 12-team college football playoff, how a bracket might look if the season were to end today. So much to get into here in this third and final hour. And, of course, we'll talk some college basketball at the end of it as well. Joe, should be a great final hour here on the Early Line.
Yeah, and, I'm looking forward to hearing what this committee, or whatever you want to call it these days, comes up with for college football. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of animosity at the top of those lists, but as we get closer to bowl season, it's going to be real interesting to see the arguments that we're going to make as this committee continues to put it together over the next couple of weeks. I can't wait for it.
And Joe, it all came to a head last year, right? In the final and 10th year of the four-team format of the college football playoff, really a year that we had not seen since the very first of the CFP, where there were so many candidates that were able to be there, that were qualified. I'm not talking about the election day here in America. I'm talking about the college football playoff, despite using the word candidates. But there were so many teams, Joe, that based on the resume were deserving of a spot based on the track record and the precedent that the college football playoff selection committee had set out for us in its 10-year history. But really, the CFP committee got a pass in the decade of doing this because they could say, all right, here's four teams. You have two losses or more. See ya. We know conference championships are something that we add to a resume. Great. Here's the top four, five, and six. Interesting. And then who cares about the rest by the time we get to the final rankings? That cannot be the case any longer. They are going to have to make arguments all the way throughout the board, with the seven at-large berths available and, of course, the five highest-ranked conference champions that will earn an automatic bid to the college football playoff. I cannot wait. I think things might get fiery even on this first one. We shall see. But before we dive into the CFP, we talk the end of the opening half of this NFL season. The Chiefs, at the end of 9 weeks, midway through this NFL campaign, the only undefeated team left at 8-0. Listen, it's 18 weeks now in the NFL regular season. Every team plays 17 games. There's not a chance the Chiefs could stay undefeated all year long, right? That's what we had to ask the people in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, will the Kansas City Chiefs go undefeated this season? Yes or no? It is a simple question, probably more complexity to the answers than those two choices. And yet the public, Joe, overwhelmingly saying no. Nearly 91% of the vote in our Fade the Public poll saying the Chiefs will at least drop one game at a point this season. The public is correct. I do not believe that Kansas City will remain undefeated the entirety of the year. To expect that is almost insane, despite how good the Chiefs have been off to this 8-0 start. But, Joe, Kansas City has only covered in 5 of their 8 games, all 3 non-covers in games the Chiefs were laying at least 6.5 points. And as we have shared, the average margin of victory for Kansas City is just about 8 points. Last night, as a 9.5-point home favorite against the really banged-up Buccaneers, game had to go to overtime for Kansas City to decide it. 6 of their 8 wins by a single score. Kansas City is going to drop at least one game at a point this season. At least we would expect.
And the schedule does not get easy from here. They still have 2 games against Denver. They still have to play the Chargers. They still also have to play Pittsburgh and, of course, Buffalo. So there is this is not an easy schedule down the stretch. They've been good enough to win close games thus far, Ben, but at some point we both know that luck is going to run out. Regression will come, and they won't win every close one-score game in the NFL. They're not blowing people out. It's not that kind of team, which means they're probably going to lose a few along the way. So I agree with the public.
Yeah, you have to, right? But when you look at the schedule for KC, the remainder of this season, Joe, we talked about it in the opening hour. Yeah. They are going to be favored in at least 8 of their final 9 games, and more than likely all 9, at least a pick'em price. The one spot you would point to for Kansas City's first loss and the most likely L on the remaining slate is in 2 weeks, 2 Sundays in Buffalo, taking on the Bills, a huge regular season matchup against Buffalo. Right now, the early projected spread is Kansas City maybe laying a point on that spread. You could estimate it to maybe -118 money line for KC and the Bills, and even money +100 favorite or underdog, I shall say. We'll see by the time we get there. But Joe, that might be really the only spot that you look at the remainder of this resume, that Kansas City is not going to be at least a field goal 4-point, 6-point favorite the remainder of the way. When you look at the early projected odds, the only other spot right now, which is a little bit laughable, that Kansas City is laying less than a field goal is in Cleveland in their 4th-to-last game of the year against the Browns team that has won 2 games. And it could be the Jameis Winston experience to the positive that day. More than likely, though, not the case. That is how favorable the slate remains for Kansas City. It's why their updated win total is 14.5. And I do believe the Chiefs have a good chance to flirt with that number at the very least.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, Ben, what might week 17 and 18 actually mean to the Chiefs if they've locked things up already? So you got Pittsburgh, you got to go on the road to Pittsburgh on Christmas, and then January 5th, you got to end it at Mile High against Denver. So to thinking they'll run the table, man, they better be playing for something in week 17 or 18, because Pittsburgh might very well be a team they're going to see in a couple of weeks in the playoffs anyway. So there's just too big a roll of the dice here, I think, to expect them just to go ahead and run the table. They're going to lose a few along the way, and maybe even one to a team that we're not thinking they're going to lose to here, Ben.
For sure. And, Joe, you could maybe even see that this week, perhaps. They're hosting the Denver Broncos on a slightly short week. 9.5-point spread in favor of KC. Again, they have not been great as a 6.5-point favorite or greater this year. They're 1-3 against the spread. The Broncos did get beat down pretty good, though, as a 9.5-point road dog last week in Baltimore. They've got the Panthers the week after. They take on the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City is not going to be undefeated at the end of this year, at least not in my estimation. And the odds kind of reflect that at plus 850. Joe, if you do believe though that Kansas City has a shot at going perfect 17-0, I wouldn't bet that price. I'd do a 9-leg money line parlay that would pay you out better than plus 850.
Absolutely. Just keep rolling it over. Just keep money lining them and rolling it over, and you'll be much better shape than plus 850.
Yes, you will, and maybe make a lot of sense along the way. Now it's time for some college football playoff ranking projections on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge Tuesday in the world of sports. The college football playoff rankings will be unveiled for the first time in 2024, for the first time in the 12-team era of the college football playoff. How is the selection committee seeing everything that we have all viewed throughout this 2024 college football season? And we'll start by using the odds and what we can anticipate, perhaps expect tonight. So, Joe, let's go through the tiers as the odds present themselves. We'll make a couple of distinctive points here. I'll lay out what a bracket would look like currently at the end of 10 weeks after the opening weekend in November based on the playoff prices currently available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Oregon is the number one team in the country and has the best price to reach the college football playoff on FanDuel at minus 4,000. Oregon also has the decisive tiebreaker advantage currently over Ohio State with the head-to-head victory, but Ohio State's huge win on Saturday in State College. The Buckeyes now the national championship favorites, second best price to reach the college football playoff at minus 3,500. Georgia has the best number to win the SEC, second best price to win the national title, minus 2,000, and they did beat Florida in a rivalry game by 2 touchdowns, but did not cover, and Carson Beck just keeps throwing interceptions. 10 touchdown passes to 11 INTs in 6 SEC games for the Dogs this year. But they have that direct tiebreaker in front of Texas, minus 1250 for the Horns. Miami remains one of the 5 undefeated teams in the country at the FBS level. The favorites to win the ACC, minus 1200 to reach the college football playoff. Joe, those are the 5 best prices, and you can see how heavily favored all 5 of these teams are. Miami has the worst number, and it's still minus 1,200.
Yeah, and it's kind of laughable because I think their position in order to not only win the ACC, but to give themselves a pretty good opportunity here at one of those top 4 seeds with a chance to run the table. I mean, this is the first time they've remained undefeated this long. Since what? They started 10-0 a couple of years back. You got to love the spot that Miami's in. But the SEC, to me, is pure chaos here, Ben, coming up over the next couple of weeks, especially if Georgia loses to Ole Miss in Ole Miss, because that could very well guarantee Georgia not making the SEC championship game, which puts them in a whole different category here. So you've got a lot still to be determined in one of the best conferences in college football. And none of it is easy, Ben, because the tiebreakers are going to mean everything in the SEC moving forward. I can't wait to see pure chaos coming out of that conference.
There is a lot to figure out conference-wise, and part of conference realignment has led to the scraping of divisions, and because of that, potential crazy tiebreaker scenarios that are going to play out and involve computers if necessary. But because Georgia does have the direct head-to-head against Texas and no other team is unbeaten in the SEC in conference play or overall this season, Georgia is the favorite to win the SEC. In fact, Joe, here are the favorites to win the Power Four conferences. Oregon and Ohio State, co-favorites at even money plus 100, but the Ducks have the tiebreaker. Georgia is the favorite to win the SEC, less than a dollar in front of Texas. Yep. Miami, a very short favorite in minus money to win the ACC. Clemson took a shot this past week, of course, being upended by Louisville. And then when you look around the Big 12, who's that favorite now? One of the five remaining undefeated teams in the country in BYU. But there are, Joe, currently, as it stands, 11 teams with a minus money price to reach the college football playoff. Should make things then pretty simple, right? 11 of 12 spots have a minus money playoff price. That should be what it is. If it was only that easy. Let's go to tier number two, Joe, to look at some of those more minus money prices. Again, Penn State, in the narrative of Saturday in Happy Valley, is not good. But it was not impactful, really, for the Nittany Lions' playoff outlook. They will be a hefty favorite in their final four games of the year. There is an argument, I believe a sound one, that Penn State's game in Madison against Wisconsin two Saturdays ago, so much more significant for their resume than that of an Ohio State game. Had they won that, they're a shoo-in for the college football playoff. In the strength of schedule or a marquee win for the Nittany Lions is not overwhelming or impressive. And yet Penn State is going to see the college football playoff if they can win out. How about Indiana? The Hoosiers, a perfect 9-0 for the first time in program history, minus 250. Two touchdown favorite this week against Michigan. Then a bye. A road trip to Ohio State where IU will be the underdog. Will that game even matter if Indiana can win their following one against Purdue? They'll be a heavy favorite for that. But how will the committee judge Indiana based on its strength of schedule so far? Notre Dame also minus 250. The blemish in a bad one against Northern Illinois. But against non-MAC teams, the Irish have looked incredibly dominant. Tennessee minus 230, that huge win over Alabama and a couple of big wins on the resume for the Volunteers. And despite two losses, Alabama still minus 140 to reach the college football playoff.
Yeah, you got to love the fact, though, that Ben, Indiana, listen, Indiana beats Ohio State. They're facing Oregon in Indy for the Big Ten championship. So they control, it doesn't make a difference, strength of schedule or not. They're going to control their destiny here, and they're going to be a favorite in some pretty easy games coming up, and you mentioned it, Purdue being one of them there. I think Indiana is a great price here across the board, simply because they don't need to worry about somebody else or the committee. Win against Ohio State, and you're facing Oregon with a chance to guarantee yourself one of the top four spots. I think it's going to be fantastic down the stretch.
IU, a 13.5 point favorite in Bloomington this week against the reigning national champs in Michigan. The last time that Indiana was favored to beat Michigan, 1968. They're laying 13.5 on Saturday. It is just crazy. A huge Saturday once again in the SEC. Texas takes on Florida. The Longhorns, 21.5 point favorite. It's going to be tough with the Gators with their third string quarterback, more than likely. Although DJ Lagway, some positive health news yesterday. LSU and Alabama in Death Valley. And a huge one between Georgia and Ole Miss. We'll talk about the G5 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So as we continue to set the stage for what we might see tonight from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Joe, let's look at the group of five contenders. Now, I do want to say this and just make it as blatantly clear as I can. There is nothing in the verbiage, the logistics, the protocol that says those five automatic berths for the five highest ranked conference champions go to the four power conference champions and then a group of five team. theoretically, we could have Army and Boise State earn an automatic berth. It is not just ACC, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, and then throw somebody else a bone. It can be any of the five highest ranked conference champs. And thus, it's not just Boise State slotted into that 12th seed if they, in fact, are the fifth highest ranked conference champ. Because, Joe, based on the odds, at a minus 250 price for the Broncos to reach the college football playoff and a number for Boise State at minus 350 to win the Mountain West, the Broncos have a better price to reach the CFP than that of the Cougars of BYU. So it's not a ranking per se, but if we were to follow the odds, Boise State has a better chance of getting to the college football playoff and thus would be the fourth highest ranked or most likely conference champ in front of BYU and earn that opening round bye. Incredibly important. And based on the odds, Joe, BYU has the 12th best number to reach the college football playoff as of this moment. And even earning that automatic berth, they would not necessarily then be slotted in to a top four spot. In fact, based on the odds, BYU would be number 12 in an opening round matchup in Columbus against Ohio State. But let's talk group of five. Mm-hmm. You see Boise State, the best number there. Tulane has the second best price, and yet the Green Wave not ranked in the AP top 25 as of this moment. But John Sumrall has done an incredible job in his first year in New Orleans. Army remains undefeated. Army is a perfect 8-0. Army has covered in six of their eight victories, even last week, Joe, with the backup quarterback in Dewayne Coleman filling in for one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the country in Bryson Daly. I cannot wait to see what the committee does with Army's ranking, because again, the strength of schedule is not overwhelmingly impressive, but there is still a chance that Army could be a college football playoff team. Louisiana, we bet on last Tuesday, they're 7-1 this year. The Raging Cajuns look great, and UNLV still has a shot. More than likely, they are going to earn a berth to the Mountain West title game to get that rematch against Boise State.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's clear that Boise State really kind of controls its own destiny, right, Ben? And that's really kind of, if I'm Boise State, that's what I want. They already beat UNLV. So that's good there. I just don't see Tulane, Army, and we love Louisiana there because that's a an offense and a defense that can actually do some damage. But the reality to me is I don't see Boise State taking its foot off the gas, at least not with the schedule coming up. I just think it's theirs to lose. And I think the order on that board, quite honestly, is exactly spot on here. I don't see Army, Louisiana, UNLV overtaking Boise State. Tulane's the only other one, I think, out of that five that has a shot.
Right. So both the Green Wave and the Black Knights, that's Tulane and Army, play in the American. Tulane is the favorite at minus 105. Army, second best price at plus 125. The Black Knights have already played six AAC conference games so far this year. Tulane, the only blemish to its resume is two non-conference losses. Can't fault them against power conference competition. They covered against K-State in the Big Easy. They kept it close against Oklahoma. Ultimately, though, the Sooners did cover that number, winning by 12, I believe it was, as less than a double-digit favorite. So is that going to hurt Tulane even if they win the AAC because their overall resume would not beat out a Boise State in this scenario? Certainly. I will mention this on the other side of the break, just because I think it is worth getting to as we get ready for college football. We'll talk some action as well. Joe, based on the odds, I have made what the 12-team college football playoff bracket would look like based on the CFP prices. I will read it off on the other side of the break because it looks awesome. Ooh. It looks intriguing. And there's a couple of changeups that I do think are worth noting before we get to the first rankings of the season on this Tuesday night. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. So as promised, what the college football playoff would look like currently in the 12-team era. What that bracket reads based on the CFP prices available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So Joe, here are the favorites to win the conferences right now with the highest ranked teams. Miami is an odds-on favorite in the ACC. Oregon and Ohio State co-favorites, but we give the Ducks the benefit of the doubt because they have the tiebreaker head-to-head over the Buckeyes. Georgia, the favorite in the SEC, and BYU, the favorite now in the Big 12 after a chaotic weekend that saw both Iowa State and Kansas State lose outright against unranked foes. And Boise State is the overwhelming favorite in the Mountain West and has a minus 250 price to reach the college football playoff, minus 350 to win the conference crown. And Joe, because Boise State at minus 250 has a better price currently than BYU to reach the college football playoff on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Cougs plus 105, I said the Broncos minus 250, Boise State has a more likely path to the CFP. Thus, based on the odds, one of those four opening round buys. It would go Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Miami 3, Boise State 4. So now we go to the at-larges. And again, we use the playoff price. The more likely odds, the better number, the higher we are ranking you based on those odds. Ohio State at minus 3,500 would be the 5 seed. They would host BYU, who has the 12th best price to reach the college football playoff right now on FanDuel at plus 105, the shortest number of a Big 12 team, the shortest price that is not minus money. The 5-12 matchup would be Ohio State in Columbus taking on BYU. Texas would be the 6th seed. They would host Alabama. Penn State would be the 7th seed. They would host 10th ranked Tennessee. And how about this matchup in the 8-9? An all-Indiana affair in Bloomington, Indiana and Notre Dame, both the Hoosiers and the Irish at minus 250. Again, Indiana would be the 8 seed, Notre Dame would be the 9. To me, that is beautiful and would show the parity that we have all desired in the 12-team college football playoff in the expanded CFP. Again, I'll probably share that out on social media so you can see the numbers and not just hear me say them. But it's awesome, and I hope the committee does follow suit and not makes us so angry tonight based on these initial rankings.
And I do think a lot is going to change over the first couple of weeks, Ben. It's inevitable now that you've got a 12-team playoff. But I'll say this. When the committee, ever since they implemented the 4-team playoff, when they list the top 5 teams, right, the top 5 or 6 teams, after the first ranking, Ben, those teams went 10-0 straight up and 8-2 against the number in the first game after the release. So those top teams in the 14 playoff era delivered in week one after the release straight up, winning across the board and just not covering in two. So I would expect whatever this comes out to be here tonight, expect those top 5 teams, Ben, to rattle off some wins coming up this week.
Which is going to be huge because we've got Georgia Ole Miss on Saturday. Yep. We've got Texas Florida on Saturday. We've got LSU and Alabama. Probably not either of them going to be in the top 5. That's a virtual elimination game in terms of CFP contention. It is going to be incredible. Oof. And not just the college football playoff rankings. But come on, man. This is what we care about on this Tuesday. Potentially the most important thing, I kid, but midweek action returns to our lives. Joe, you've got some great trends to highlight. Central Michigan, 13.5-point home underdog are the Chips against Bowling Green. In fact, both of these spreads are double digits. Miami of Ohio laying 12 and a hook against Ball State. The Red Hawks and Chuck Martin got off to a slow start this year in tough non-conference action, have figured it out in conference play. They're laying 12.5 on the road against Ball State tonight.
Yeah, and the trends for action weekday football, guys, is absolutely out of control. Over the last decade, MAC teams who were double-digit favorites during the week, 65-9 straight up, 45-29 against the number. Last year, Ben, alone, they went 6-0 straight up and 5-1 against the number. What does that mean? If you're a double-digit favorite during the week in MACtion, yeah, don't be scared of the number. It's worth playing at the very least.
So when you look at Miami of Ohio, again, they are 3-1 in conference play. They lost their opener to the conference favorites, Toledo. But they have gone over in all four games. Normally a really good defense, and still is pretty good. But they've been scoring points. They've scored 30-plus in their last three. They have covered the number in all three as the favored side. They just blew out Central Michigan to end out October 46-7. Meanwhile, Bowling Green, the other double-digit favorite tonight, as they take on the chips of Central Michigan, they have not been as good in terms of covering numbers in MAC play. They are just 3-1, and they, in fact, lost outright as a favorite against NIU. It's because Thomas Hammack and his Northern Illinois team, when they're an underdog, they just cover numbers. They are only 1-2 against the spread, that being Bowling Green, as the favorite in MAC play this year. All three of those games under as well. Joe, so many numbers to like. I would probably lay the number with Miami of Ohio against Ball State, albeit in midweek MACtion where things get crazy on the road. If not, maybe the under. I'd probably lean under between the chips and the Falcons of Bowling Green.
Look at the weather report here tonight in this Ball State, Miami of Ohio. Rain and wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. So that is exactly why we're starting to see that total come down here a little bit this morning in the marketplace. But either way, Miami of Ohio is the better defense, the better running team. I don't know that anybody's going to be able to throw the ball in 30 mile per hour gusts, but it at that point, it just feels like this could be a runaway for Miami of Ohio, for sure.
Yeah, maybe then we lean under team total for Ball State in this matchup. All right, Renary, no NBA games tonight. The NBA, of course, focused on giving everybody out there to vote. So go out there, place your vote. It is your civic duty and right to do so. But we do have some action on night number two of the 2024-25 college basketball season. No ranked teams in action tonight, as we saw a ton of them yesterday, but some marquee matchups to know. Rice and FIU, 5.5-point spread. Texas Tech, 28.5-point favorite against Bethune-Cookman. We got Kansas State, should be a good year for Jerome Tang and company in the Big 12. They're laying 28.5. Could be a really good year for BYU. This Cougars team in Big 12 play, one to keep an eye on, 29.5-point favorite. Washington's Big 10 debut as a program, new head coach in Danny Sprinkle. He brings over one of the Mountain West players of the year. That's Great Osabor, now playing for the Huskies. They're laying 13.5 against UC Davis. And Arizona State, who got walloped, Bobby Hurley against his alma mater in Duke in an exhibition game. Sun Devils, 18.5-point favorite against Idaho State. Anything catch your eye tonight, Joe Ranieri?
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested in seeing Arizona State, and can the Hurley brother keep up here? Is he on a hot seat with his other brother there at UConn, who once again is looking to win a third straight championship that nobody thinks they can do? I think Arizona State, I think they're poised to make a pretty good run here this year. I would not be at all afraid to lay that number there, because I do think he's looking to come out and make a big statement here tonight at Arizona State.
Kevin Young, the new head coach for BYU, brings over some NBA experience. BYU is recruiting really well right now. What a time for the Cougs. 22nd in the KenPom rankings, by the way. Joe Ranieri, we appreciate the time on this Tuesday. Next up, we're going to focus with John Rothstein on some college hoops. But we love the MACtion numbers. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday here on SportsGrid. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sure, this might only be the second day of the 2024-25 college basketball season. Sure, this is only November, but this is how you know a new college basketball season is fully underway. John Rothstein joins us live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid on behalf of the FanDuel Sportsbook and, of course, the best college basketball insider, in my humble opinion, working for CBS Sports. John Rothstein, we are so happy to have you here on this Tuesday to tip off a new college basketball campaign. Can't wait to get your thoughts on the season and the opening day of the year yesterday as well.
Ben, great to be with you, and I think I speak candidly when I say great to finally talk to you in person for the first time.
I know, man. It has been too long. No off-season beers for us this time, John Rothstein, on the Upper East Side. Maybe we'll change that at some point throughout this college hoops season. Busy day yesterday, John. 356 yeah. Division I men's and women's college basketball games, and it ended with a top 10 tilt out in Spokane between 6th-ranked Gonzaga and number 8 Baylor. But with a 38-point win, John, for the Zags, in my notes, I was going to ask you, John, what was your main takeaway for this season opener for both Gonzaga and Baylor? We don't really need the main takeaway. Gonzaga was overwhelmingly impressive. But what stood out to you most about the Zags in the 38-point dominating win over Baylor?
We spend so much time celebrating new additions, whether it's through the transfer portals, especially in this climate, or five-star freshmen, that retention is not celebrated enough or focused on enough in this current climate of college sports. Look at the two teams last season that played in the national championship game, UConn and Purdue. 7 of the 10 players that started in that game were in those respective programs the season prior. And if you look at Gonzaga's breakdown roster-wise entering the season, the Bulldogs returned over 75% of their scoring from last season's team that won 27 games and lost to Purdue in the Sweet 16. That includes 6 of their top 7 scorers from that unit. Baylor, while obviously extremely talented, was leaning on 2 impact transfers in Norchad Omier and Jeremy Roach, and also a 5-star freshman in VJ Edgecombe. Gonzaga had rhythm and chemistry. It showed.
Yeah, it certainly did. And when you look at Mark Few's team, Nolan Hickman back, team's leading scorer, 17 points. Graham E.K., 15 points as well. And Ryan Nemhard orchestrating the offense, John, double-digit dimes last night with 11. So, John, it's very early, right? We're still 5 months away from Final Four weekend in San Antonio. It's a long college basketball season here in non-con action into conference play. And then, of course, a tournament described as madness in March. But as we look at the 10 best prices to win a national championship this year on the FanDuel Sportsbook, if you had to highlight one of these 10 teams that you believe will be in the title conversation all season long, which program would that be?
I'm going to go with 2. I'm going to take Houston and Alabama. Houston, to me, would have been in the Final Four last season had Jamal Shedd not went down, obviously, with that devastating injury against Duke in the Sweet 16. Also, Ben, I remember this especially closely because I was with Houston, you know, as a sideline reporter during the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. Houston also last year did not have Terrence Arsenault, who was out with a season-ending injury, and did not have JoJo Tugler, their backup post player, who was out with a season-ending injury. So this rendition of Houston is going to be the deepest rendition that we have seen under Kelvin Sampson. And as far as Alabama goes, look, I can say without hesitation that this is the most anticipated season in the history of Alabama's basketball program. And it's because the Crimson Tide, who are coming off their first Final Four appearance in school history, are vastly better defensively than they were a season ago when they went to a Final Four. And the main reason why is the addition of Rutgers transfer Cliff Amore. Ben, the numbers don't lie. Last season, Alabama blocked 133 shots as a team. Amore blocked 93 by himself at Rutgers.
to anchor that defense. One of the woes for Nate Oates, the question never the offense. 110 points in the opener for Alabama last night. John, you see that group of four teams at 11-1 to win a national championship, only behind the favorites Duke. We'll talk about the talented Blue Devils and that young freshman class in just a moment. One of those groups, one of those teams, and the head coach on your screen, it's Dan Hurley's Huskies, the two-time reigning national champs in college basketball, looking to make history, trying to become the first three-time national champion back-to-back-to-back since the John Wooden days in the early 70s at UCLA. What will it take, John, for this Connecticut team to make history this season?
Well, there are two elements that I'm looking closely at right now for UConn. One is a big part of these back-to-back runs for UConn to win the national championship in 23 and 24 in convincing fashion was the two-headed monster at center. Sonogo and Klingon, and then Klingon and Samson Johnson. Samson Johnson and Tarris Reed have to be dominant together for 40 minutes at the five spot. And then the perimeter for UConn has to be in a situation where it takes a major step forward. And that's directly correlated to St. Mary's transfer, Aiden Mahaney. Dan Hurley told me when I spoke to him last week that Aiden Mahaney has to be somewhere in between what Tristan Newton was in his first year in UConn's program in 2023 and what Cam Spencer was in UConn's program in 2024. They need Aiden Mahaney to be close to an all-Big East caliber player if UConn's going to have a chance to three-peat. But I want to point this out, Ben. UConn in the last 2 years has won 12 NCAA tournament games by an average of 21.7 points per game. So the Huskies don't have to be nearly as good as they've been to win it all once again. If UConn was 15 points worse than it was the last 2 years combined, it would still be beating opponents by almost 7 points per contest.
Yeah, it would be crazy. Quickly here, John, about 30 seconds left. The debut for Cooper Flagg and Duke last night, 96-62 in Durham, a cover as well. How did the national championship favorites entering the year look in their season opener?
You know, what you would expect in a bye game against Maine, we're not going to have a real feel for Duke against top-notch competition until 1 week today. They go mano-a-mano with Kentucky in the Champions Classic.
Now that is going to be incredible. Cooper Flagg, good. Con Knipple, great last night for the Blue Devils. John Rothstein, we thank you. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The college basketball season in 2024-25 now officially underway. A lot of men's basketball scores that we have brought you so far in these 3 hours. Let's look at the opening night of action in women's college basketball. It was nighttime out in Paris, but actually early in the afternoon out here stateside for a couple of marquee top 20 tilts under the Eiffel Tower with the very talented Juju Watkins and USC taking on Ole Miss and UCLA matching up against Louisville. In some highly competitive games for some of the best teams in the country yesterday. USC surviving at the end. A couple of clutch free throws, not from Juju Watkins, but Kiki Ariofin to pull things through for the Trojans yesterday, who went cold from the floor against Ole Miss, but do survive. The Running Rebs do cover as a 10.5-point underdog. UCLA laying near double digits as well against Louisville. The Cards cover, but do lose by 7, 66-59. UCLA made a deep run to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament a year ago before their season came to a close against LSU. How about the reigning national champs who have won two national championships in the last 3 years? That, of course, is Dawn Staley's Gamecocks in South Carolina. Number one in the country and laying more than 20 yesterday out in Las Vegas against Michigan, a tournament team a season ago. Just a 6-point win for South Carolina, who is often dominant in non-conference action. Not the case yesterday. The Wolverines keep it close, 68-62, the final. I still think South Carolina is the rightful, deserved, and the best pick to win a national championship at plus 155, as we'll show you in just a moment. There it is. Notre Dame not all that far behind at a 6-1 number. And again, keep an eye on this very talented team this season, led by Hannah Hidalgo, one of the best point guards in the country. Six steals yesterday for the Irish. Olivia Miles scoring 20 points for Notre Dame. They roll over Mercyhurst. LSU has lost a lot of pieces, of course, in the last 2 years, but they are still stacked under Kim Mulkey. Flaje Johnson still there. LSU knocking off Eastern Kentucky, winning by 51, 95-44. If you don't know the name Audie Crooks, I would start to pay attention. One of the best bigs in women's college hoops leads 8th-ranked Iowa State to a 96-56 victory over Chicago State in the season opener. Plenty of other action yesterday around women's college basketball to start off this new season. Nebraska handles Omaha in the in-state rivalry, winning by 40. Last year, a really good team for the Cornhuskers, making it to the NCAA tournament. Indiana has been great under Terry Morton. When you look at their number, 82-60 yesterday in the victory against Brown. And Alabama women's basketball, also ranked entering the year, they go absolutely nuclear yesterday. 115 points for Alabama. The men's side scored 110. The women's team putting up 115. So just some names and some numbers to pay attention to start off a new season in college hoops. Did want to make this point for UConn. That's men's basketball. Women's basketball team, as you saw just moments ago, second best number to win a national championship, led by Paige Beckers. They are going to be great this year in stores under Gino Auriemma. Once again, that 4-1 number. The Connecticut Huskies on the men's side, an 11-1 price, tied in that group of four programs for the second best number behind Duke. UConn opens their season tomorrow against Sacred Heart. No ranked teams in action on this second day of the college basketball season on the men's side. To start this season, we will see some more tomorrow. So maybe that paves the way for a huge night in college football. Again, those college football playoff rankings for the first time in the 12-team era, for the first time this year in 2024, we have appreciated the AP poll. But after tonight, it takes a back seat. It's how the selection committee is seeing the country in college football. And I like to get a little bit mad at the committee at some times, because I don't think they do a great job of standard operating procedure, protocol, for how they carry things over and what is most important year to year, week to week throughout these rankings. And these first rankings will set the stage, because again, you have to work your way up or work your way back. And you will have to be ranked in front of teams for an at-large berth. And for those five highest-ranked conference champs, it's not just being in the top five. It's also being some of the four highest-ranked to earn that opening round bye. I hope they set a precedent tonight in criteria that continues for a season. And how about some action football? Maybe leaning under in both? The Early Line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on a Wednesday.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.